All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we are diving into advanced options trading.
Options.
Yeah, options trading.
Ah, well.
And I think a lot of people, when they hear advanced options trading, they think of, Wall Street. They think of like super complicated
Yeah,
strategies.
it can seem very intimidating.
Yeah, very intimidating. But the goal of this deep dive is to really just extract some key understandable insights for the listener.
Absolutely.
So to do this deep dive, we've got a couple of really dense sources. One is called Mastering Advanced Options, a study guide. And then we've also got this online course. It's got a structured outline. It's called Advanced Options Trading Online Course. And we're really just going to try to give you the shortcut to
Yeah.
understanding some of these sophisticated financial tools.
Right. And the key takeaways for you as a listener are going to be, kind of understanding the core mechanics
Right.
and, these advanced techniques and how they really shape market dynamics.
Right. Because you're not going to become a professional options trader after this,
Yeah.
but you'll be able to, kind of film like one at a cocktail party.
Chuckles. Exactly.
But really, I mean, we want to understand these concepts.
Yeah.
So let's just jump right in. Okay. So we're going to move beyond just kind of, the basic Greeks and, simple calls and puts. We're going to talk about things like delta hedging. Now, this study guide describes delta hedging as the continuous adjustment of your underlying asset holdings, to keep your portfolio's delta as close to zero as possible.
Right.
Now, you might be thinking, why this constant tinkering? What's the point?
Yeah, why? Why is continuous adjustment often necessary?
Right.
And the reason for that is an options delta. It's
Yeah.
not fixed.
Right.
It changes as the price of the underlying asset changes.
Right.
And as time goes on, as the option gets closer to its expiration date.
Got it. Got it.
So if you want to neutralize your portfolio's sensitivity to those, like, small price changes,
Yeah.
you're going to have to actively rebalance.
Yeah. Okay. So you're basically chasing a moving target.
It's a very dynamic process.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then, this kind of leads to this idea of gamma scalping. Now, this sounds kind of counterintuitive because you're like,
Yeah.
you're hedging against volatility, but then you're also trying to make money from the volatility.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the idea here.
Yeah.
So you're profiting from the changes in delta by frequently trading.
Okay.
And the guide mentions frequent trading of the underlying.
Right. Yeah. So as delta fluctuates, and that's where gamma comes in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gamma is the rate of change of delta.
Okay.
So as the underlying price moves,
Yeah.
your delta is going to change.
Yeah.
And the faster it changes,
Yeah.
the more opportunities you're potentially going to have
To buy or sell,
to buy or sell.
to maintain that neutral position.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I mean, how practical is this? Like, if you're trading
I see.
constantly,
Right. Yeah.
you're going to get killed on transaction costs.
Yeah.
Transaction costs are a huge factor here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, effective gamma scalping,
Yeah.
you need to have
Yeah.
very low transaction costs, which, it often means you need like institutional grade infrastructure.
Got it. Okay.
So it's a very interesting concept, but for most individual traders,
Yeah.
understanding the concept is more important than trying to implement it directly
Right.
with like a retail brokerage account.
Makes sense. Makes
Yeah,
sense.
yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about volatility.
Volatility, that's the key.
The lifeblood.
Yeah, the lifeblood of options pricing.
Right. So we have Vega, which tells us how much an options price will move for every 1% change in implied volatility.
Right.
So if you're anticipating a big jump in market uncertainty, you might look at options with a high Vega.
Yes, Vega is your sensitivity measure to
Right.
how sensitive your options are to those changes in market sentiment,
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
Expectations about future price swings.
Okay.
And interestingly, Vega tends to be highest for options that are at the money or near the money
Okay.
and those that have longer maturities.
Okay. So the further out in time, the higher the
But
Vega.
generally, yes.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Then we've got rho. Now rho is always kind of like the
Rules.
redheaded stepchild of the
Hey,
Greeks
Dreckles. Yeah.
because it's the sensitivity to changes in interest rates.
Right.
But unless we're in like a very, very volatile interest rate environment.
Yeah, rho's impact is generally less pronounced
Yeah.
than delta or vega,
Right.
particularly for options expiring,
Yeah.
relatively soon.
Short term.
Short term,
Yeah,
yeah. It's still there. It's
sure.
another piece of the puzzle.
Right. So, okay, so we've got these individual sensitivities, but the market's expectation of future volatility is not uniform
Right.
across all the different options contracts. And that brings us to this idea of implied versus realized
volatility surfaces, yeah.
Surfaces, yeah. So we've got like what the market expects volatility to be.
Implied, yeah.
And then we've got, you know, what actually happened.
Realized, yeah.
Realized. And implied volatility varies by strike price and expiration date.
Yes, exactly.
So it's really a surface.
It's like a landscape.
Right.
Imagine, you know, a three-dimensional landscape.
Yeah.
And, you know, the X and Y axes are strike prices and expiration dates. Mm-hmm. And the height of the surface is the implied volatility for that particular option.
I like it.
It's a good visual.
Very visual.
And what's interesting is that surface is rarely flat.
Yeah, that brings us to the...
That brings us to the smile, yeah.
Volatility smile or the skew.
The skew, right.
So this is where implied volatility tends to be higher for out-of-the-money put options and sometimes also for out-of-the-money call options.
Right. So those are the ones that are further away from the current price.
Right, right.
And it's higher for those than it is for options that are at the money or near the money.
Right, right. So why does the skew, you know, persist?
Well, there's a few reasons, right? One is, you know, potential arbitrage opportunities, although those are often fleeting.
Yeah.
I think more fundamentally, though, the persistent skew, particularly with higher implied volatility for those out-of-the-money puts.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, supply and demand. It reflects the market's collective, I guess you could call it a cost.
Cost of insuring.
Yeah, of insuring against those tail risks, those black swan type of events.
Got it.
Where the market really sells off significantly.
Yeah.
So, you know, for you as a takeaway, there's this inherent bias in how the market prices as potential downturns.
Okay. And we can't forget dividends, right?
Dividends. Yeah. Especially for stock options.
Yeah.
They have a huge impact.
Yeah. Yeah. So the guide talks about dividend adjusted models.
Yeah. Like Black Scholes, Merton.
Right.
Then binomial trees.
Yeah. Yeah.
So these models are basically, they take into account the expected dividend payments over the life of the option and incorporate that into the pricing.
Right, because obviously when a dividend gets paid out, the stock price goes down.
Yeah, the price drops by the amount of the dividend.
Right. Okay. All right, so now that we've kind of explored some of this, you know, deeper theoretical stuff, let's move into some of the strategic applications of this.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, so let's go beyond, you know, just buying simple calls or puts, right? Let's talk about iron condors.
Iron condors.
Butterfly spreads,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, they sound really complicated.
They sound very complicated.
But they're actually neutral strategies, right?
They're designed to be profitable when the price of the underlying asset stays within a certain range.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, not too high, not too low.
Uh-huh.
They involve buying and selling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Multiple options contracts.
Right. Okay. And so the iron condor, this offers a wider profit range.
Generally, yes, a wider potential profit range.
Yeah, but it also has, you know, greater potential losses, right?
Yeah, that's the trade-off.
Compared to a butterfly spread.
Right, the butterfly spread has a narrower profit peak.
Yeah.
But it also has a lower potential for loss.
Okay.
And just to add to that, you know, there are variations like broken wing butterflies.
And
iron butterflies that can kind of tweak that risk-reward profile.
Got it.
To skew it in one direction or the other.
Right, okay. So then we've got ratio back spreads. Now, these sound like they've got some directional bias built into them, right?
They're constructed to profit from a significant price move in the direction that you anticipate.
Okay, so you're making a bet.
Yeah, you're making a directional bet.
Okay.
And you typically collect a premium up front because you're selling fewer options than you buy.
Okay.
But if the price moves strongly in your favor, you have the potential for unlimited profit.
Okay.
Or at least, you know, less capped profit.
Okay.
But of course, there's substantial risk if the price goes the other way.
Or even if it just stays flat.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Diagonal spreads, calendar spreads, these seem to...
Yeah, these are interesting because they leverage the element of time in different ways.
Okay. So what's the difference?
So calendar spreads involve options on the same underlying asset.
Okay.
With the same strike price, but different expiration dates.
Got it.
And diagonal spreads differ in both strike price and expiration date.
Okay.
And these are often used to take advantage of time decay.
Right.
That's that theta we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Options that are closer to expiration, they lose value faster due to time decay.
Right.
And they can also be used to capitalize on differences in implied volatility between near-term and longer-term options.
Got it.
So... if you think that near-term volatility is, overpriced relative to longer-term volatility,
You might use a calendar spread.
you might use a calendar spread to take advantage of that.
Okay, and then, earnings season comes around. It's a very volatile time.
Yeah, very volatile.
And the guide talks about straddles and strangles.
Straddles and strangles, yeah.
So we've talked about these in, more basic terms, but the guide also mentions this interesting connection back to gamma scalping.
Yeah, that's right.
So explain that a little bit.
So straddles, that's buying a call and a put
At the same strike
at
price.
the same strike, same expiration.
Yeah.
And strangles, that's buying an out-of-the-money call and an out-of-the-money put.
Same expiration.
Same expiration.
Okay.
And these are popular for earnings because, you're betting on a big move
Right. Up or down.
in either direction. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
And so as the stock price moves after the earnings announcement, the deltas of your calls and puts are going to change. And so you can scalp profits by trading the underlying stock to maintain a delta neutral position.
So you're basically you're using these long options positions
Yeah.
as a way to kind of
Generate gamma.
generate gamma, and then
Yeah.
scalp around that.
Self around it. Exactly.
Okay, interesting. All right, now let's talk about volatility itself.
Okay. Volatility.
How do we hedge against volatility?
Yeah, how do we manage our volatility exposure? So the guy talks about variance swaps and VIX futures. So these are two distinct tools. VIX futures, they let you speculate or hedge on the future level of the VIX index, which is that measure of expected market volatility.
The fear gauge, right?
Yeah, the fear gauge, exactly. Variance swaps, on the other hand, those are OTC contracts
Over the
over
counter.
the counter. Yeah. And they pay out based on the difference between the realized variance of an asset's returns over a period and a pre-agreed upon level. So they offer a purer play on realized volatility, but they're less accessible to retail traders. VIX futures, you can trade those very easily in your brokerage account.
Now, this idea of synthetic positions,
Synthetic positions, yeah.
this sounds almost like a magic trick.
It's like financial alchemy. It's creating the payoff of one asset using a combination of options.
So, a futures contract or an ETF,
Yeah.
but you're just using options.
Just options.
How does that work?
So, for example, if you buy a call option and sell a put option
On the same
on the
underlying.
same underlying, same strike, same expiration, that effectively creates a synthetic long position in the underlying asset. So it's like you own the stock or you have a long futures contract. And this relationship is based on put call parity.
Put call
That
parity.
theoretical equilibrium between call and put prices.
So the guide also mentions put call parity arbitrage.
Yeah.
So, if there are deviations from that parity, then there's a theoretical opportunity for risk-free profit.
Theoretically, yes. But, and this is important, these arbitrage windows, they're extremely short-lived. You need sophisticated algorithms and very, very low transaction costs to be able to exploit those.
Before they disappear.
Yeah, before they
All
disappear.
right, right. Okay, so for our listeners, it's really more about understanding the concept.
Yeah, it's about understanding the relationship between call and put prices.
So we've talked about all these sophisticated ways to trade, but how do we manage the risk?
Right, risk management.
The risk management.
That's key.
So the guide talks about the Kelly criterion.
Kelly criterion, yeah.
Now this is for asymmetric payoffs.
It's a formula, basically, that helps you determine how much to bet. Okay.
On a particular trade based on the probability of winning and the potential payoff relative to the potential loss.
Okay, so it's about sizing your bets appropriately.
Sizing your bets appropriately
Right.
given the risk and reward
Given the risk and
of
reward.
the trade.
And options are, inherently asymmetric,
They
right?
are,
You
yeah.
can have a high probability of a small profit
Right.
versus a low probability of a big loss,
Or vice versa.
or vice versa. So the Kelly criterion is trying to find that sweet spot.
It's trying to maximize your long-term growth rate
Right.
while minimizing the risk of blowing up your account.
Right. So not betting the farm.
Not betting the farm on any single trade.
Yeah. Now, portfolio margin efficiency. This is all about, potentially lowering your margin requirements. So if you have offsetting positions, you can get a margin break. So traditional margin calculations, they often look at each position in isolation. Portfolio margining looks at your overall portfolio risk. So if you have positions that hedge each other, like, a long call on a short put on the same underlying, then the margin requirement's going to be lower than if you just had those positions separately.
Because you've got the hedge built in.
Yeah, the hedge is built in.
Okay. Now, the guide also talks about scenario analysis.
Yeah.
And they talk about black swans.
Like washcrafts.
So this is stress testing your portfolio, basically. What would happen if the market does something crazy, unexpected. So it's simulating those extreme events and seeing how your portfolio would perform and identifying any vulnerabilities and making adjustments.
Correlation risk.
Correlation risk. Multi-leg strategies. So
Mm-hmm.
this makes sense, right? If you're using a strategy that involves, two or more different assets and how they're going to move relative to each other,
And their relationship to each other.
what happens if that relationship breaks down?
Right. That's the essence of correlation risk. So, a lot of multi-leg strategies, they're predicated on the assumption that these assets are going to,
Work together.
maintain a certain correlation. And if that correlation breaks down, your hedge might not work and you can end up losing a lot of money.
Then, we've got to think about contango and backwardation in the futures markets.
Ah, yes.
So how does the shape of the futures price curve affect options trading?
So, contango is when futures prices are higher for longer maturities, and backwardation is when they're lower. And both of these can impact, options pricing. So, for example, if you've got a commodity in contango, that means the cost of storing and carrying that commodity is built into the futures price. And that can influence the relative value of calls and puts.
Volatility targeting with the VIX term structure.
So this is looking at the VIX futures curve and looking at the different maturities and seeing what the market is implying about future volatility.
So you're basically trying to gauge the market's expectations.
Gauge the market's
So look at
expectation
volatility.
for volatility over different time frames and use that to inform your trades.
So we've talked about a lot of, pretty sophisticated theory, pretty sophisticated strategies. The guide also talks about, derivatives beyond vanilla options.
The more exotic stuff.
So like, barriers,
Barriers,
barriers
binaries,
to Asian options.
Asian options.
I mean, these sound like they belong in a James Bond movie.
Chuckles. Yeah, they're a little more esoteric, but they can be powerful tools for very specific purposes.
So like barrier options, these have payoffs that are
Yeah, they're contingent on
calculated.
the underlying price reaching a certain barrier. So like if the price hits this level, then the option knocks in or knocks out. And binary options, those have fixed payoffs. So if a specific condition is met, you get a fixed amount. And if not, you get nothing.
And then Asian options.
Asian options, those are based on the average price over a certain period.
So not just the price at expiration.
Not just the price at expiration, but the average.
And then we've got auto callables and structured products.
Yeah, these are getting even more complex. They often have embedded options. So auto callables, those are typically like debt instruments with embedded call options and the returns linked to the performance of an asset. And they might be redeemed early if the price hits a certain level. And structured products, those are even broader. They can be, custom designed combinations of different derivatives. And you got to really understand the embedded options to really grasp the risk and reward.
Now, there are also these volatility ETFs,
Ah.
UVXY, SVXY.
Yeah, these are designed to give you exposure to volatility. But, the guide does mention some limitations.
So what are some things that our listeners should know?
So these ETFs, they don't actually hold options on the VIX. They hold VIX futures. And because of how those futures are priced, they suffer from time decay. And so, they're generally not suitable for long-term investing.
Oh. They're more for, you know, short-term tactical trades.
Right, right. Or hedging.
Or hedging, yeah.
Okay. And then we've got SPX weeklies.
Yeah.
Versus E-mini futures.
Yeah, so both of these are ways to trade the S&P 500.
Right.
But weekly options, they have a much shorter lifespan.
Right.
Which means they have faster time decay and higher gamma.
Okay.
So they're more volatile.
Right.
And you got to be very, very active in managing those positions.
Right, right.
E-mini futures, they're more traditional.
Okay.
They offer continuous trading, mm-hmm. different margin requirements, mm-hmm. and they're generally held for longer periods.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, the markets are increasingly driven by these algorithms.
Yeah, algorithmic trading.
Yeah. So the guide talks about, you know, algorithmic and quantitative approaches.
Right.
So we've got these delta neutral market making bots.
Yeah. So these are algorithms that are basically constantly hedging and trying to profit from the bid-ask spread.
Right.
So they're buying at the bid, selling at the ask.
Yeah.
And capturing that tiny little spread.
Okay.
And they're also capturing gains from gamma.
Okay. Okay. Volatility arbitrage with mean reversion.
Mean reversion, yeah.
This is the idea that, you know, volatility levels.
Yeah, implied volatility tends to mean
revert back to the mean.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So the idea is to identify situations where implied vol is either too high or too low.
Okay.
And you bet on it coming back to that average.
Got it.
So you might sell options.
Yeah.
When implied vol is high,
right.
or buy options when it's low.
Right, right. And then this idea of predicting IV shocks.
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Using natural language processing.
NLP.
NLP, yeah. Yep. So basically they're using algorithms to analyze earnings transcripts and try to predict big moves in implied volatility.
Okay, so they're trying to, like, read between the lines.
Yeah, read between the lines.
Of what management is saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And see if there are any hidden signals about future volatility.
Okay. And then, you know, we've got these reinforcement learning algorithms.
Reinforcement learning, yeah.
That are basically, like, you know, learning and optimizing.
It's machine learning.
Yeah.
Applied to trading.
Okay.
So the algorithm learns by trial and error in a simulated environment.
Okay.
And it can discover strategies.
That might not be obvious to humans.
That might not be obvious to humans, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. And then finally, the guy talks about some, you know, real-world application.
All right, back at historical events.
Yeah. Yeah, like the 2008 financial crisis and the more recent meme stock mania. Yeah, both of these had huge implications for the options market.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
2008, you know, we saw those huge spikes in the VIX.
Right. Right. So what are some takeaways?
So I think the takeaway from 2008 is the importance of tail risk hedging.
Right, right.
You know, being prepared for those extreme market downturns and the meme stock mania, that was a great example.